inheritance of the wise. The first scripture is in Proverbs 3, and it's verse number 35. We've seen this scripture already, but it will bear a review. Proverbs 3 and 35. The wise shall inherit glory. The wise shall inherit glory. Now, the word glory here literally means honor and good. As a matter of fact, the Amplified Bible says that the wise shall inherit all honor and good. The Living Bible says the wise shall inherit blessing. But the idea that I believe the Word of God is trying to get across to us is that the wise will be held in high esteem. And the wise person, whether he be a young person or a mature adult, a person who has chosen wisdom, and remember, wisdom is something that is chosen. It's not something that rains on you out of heaven. It's something that is available to us, but we must choose it and seek after it and appropriate it. Proverbs 2 makes that so very, very clear. A person who has chosen wisdom and sought after wisdom and has become wise will find that he has favor among men and that he has honor among men. And he's the kind of a person, while the fool may not like him, he will at least hold him in esteem. Because he's such a person, his wisdom is so, the strength of his wisdom is so that you cannot help but respect him. Now, these will be people you'll remember from your own experience, from your own feelings that you've had about others, that people that you have known that you would say, I don't like him, but I respect him. You knew people like that in school. You didn't like him because he wasn't like you, but you respected him. You held him in esteem. They would be people, as you were growing up in school, in our day, we called them goody two-shoes. Anybody know the term goody two-shoes? Most of the kids really don't like the goody two-shoes. But everybody holds them in high esteem and respects them. And that's an indication of the wise. A wise person will inherit glory. Now look at the other side of this couplet in this 35th verse. But shame shall be the promotion of fools. In other words, shame is the inheritance or that which comes to fools. And so when we talk about the wise inheriting glory and the fool obtaining shame, we see what glory is. It is the opposite of shame. It's honor and it's esteem and it's respect. And it's the first inheritance that we're going to see for a wise person. Now let's go to the 16th chapter of Proverbs. I believe if there was nothing, no other benefit, that would be ample reason for us to search for wisdom. But there are many other benefits. Chapter 16 and verse 21. I like this one, and it ties in with what we've just been discussing. The wise in heart shall be called prudent. The wise in heart shall be called prudent. Now, the idea there of being called prudent means that others see. For a wise person to be called wise means others are observing this wisdom and correctly labeling the person wise or prudent. And the promise here is that a person who seeks after wisdom and becomes wise by choice is one who will be, when he's talked about, will not be called fool. He'll be called wise. He'll be held in esteem by others. He'll be recognized by others as wise. And when they talk about him, they will have to admit that he's a prudent man. Right?
What does prudent mean?
Prudent means wise. It means discreet. It means able to make the right kinds of decisions. Prudence and wisdom are sister words.
When I taught in public schools, the teachers didn't do their job, really despised me. I was never in the teacher's lounge. I was always with my students. My kids always did well on the test. And, you know, they really didn't like what I did. But since we formed the academy, I found out that a lot of those same teachers that disliked me and despised me, whenever they were having problems with their children in the classroom, they recommended that their parents check out our academy because they knew that I was the principal, and they would tell these parents. Now, these were people I knew that disliked me, and it just, I couldn't believe that they would do this. And the parents would call and say, so-and-so recommended that I call you. And I just, my teeth felt like it would just fall out, because it would be the ones I least suspected that would recommend me for anything, you know. And I know that that's part of wisdom.
That's a confirmation, and as we were describing the goody two-shoes person a moment ago, excuse me, generally, the fool will not acknowledge face-to-face to that person that he honors him or esteems him. He'll mock him, he'll scorn him face-to-face, but deep down on the inside, he holds him in respect and honor. And so you can't always judge what a person says to you. Is that really representing how they feel? For they may mock you and scorn you and spit on you, as it were, and curse you, but deep down on the inside, they think something completely different, and you're getting a reaction that is not exactly how they're feeling on the inside. Okay? All right, let's go to the next one, Proverbs 10:1, and this is so appropriate for today. And dads, this is one of the reasons why it's important for us to develop our children in wisdom, because there's a definite benefit for dads, and moms can get in on this as well. Proverbs 10:1, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father. Now, one of the rewards of wisdom is a blessing upon your dad and a blessing upon your mom. I feel very strongly about this, and I'll share it with you. A gift on Father's Day. Excuse me, a gift on Father's Day costs a few bucks. And you're going to wrap it up a nice ribbon and you can, or a nice paper, and you can put a ribbon on it or something, and you give it to your dad, and you can honor him. Happy Father's Day, Dad. But the things that will really make a father glad cost a lot more than a few bucks. Yeah. And they take a lot, they take more time than a few minutes at O'Neill's. What a dad really wants, he wants the obedience of his children. He wants the genuine affection of his children. I'm talking about routinely, daily. What he wants is for his children to grow up wise and strong. He wants his children to become spiritual men, mighty men of God, mighty men and women of God. And I tell you that when Father's Day comes, a child who has given his father's heart gladness because of his wisdom does not need to wrap up Amen. A tie his dad won't wear in a fancy box and dress it in a beautiful ribbon and so on and say, this is an expression of my love. We need to know as adults how to bless a father. Amen. And the blessing is not bought with money and it's not put in a box. The true blessing, that which makes a father's heart glad, is a wise son. If you got a wise son every day, every day is Father's Day if you have a wise son or a wise daughter. And so this is a tremendous benefit, I believe, and a tremendous reward for seeking after wisdom. It is a way of providing for our parents deep, deep, lasting, and powerful blessings. When you can bless your father and mother in this way. A wise son maketh a glad father. Now, here's the other side of this. Look at the other side of the couplet. But a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother, his parents. A wise son makes his parents' heart glad. A foolish son makes his parents' hearts grieve. The word heaviness there means grief. Grief. And so a foolish child has as his reward grieving parents. A wise child has as his reward happy, blessed, and glad parents. All right? Let's look at chapter 11 and verse 29. This one is yeah, there it is. Okay. This one is very illuminating to me. Verse 29, chapter 11, he that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool, here's the part we want to see, the fool shall be servant to the wise of heart. Now, what are one of the rewards of wisdom, of being a wise person? The reward is you'll be the head and not the tail. It means you'll be above and not beneath. It means you'll be in charge. It means you'll be giving instructions rather than taking instructions. And it means you're the one who has control rather than the one who is moved by the whims of others. The fool shall be the servant of the wise. Now, you can choose. Here's the choice, you see, that we make. When we choose wisdom, then we're choosing that higher position in terms of having charge, being the head, not the tail. I like that terminology. Whereas when we choose foolishness, we choose to be a servant to someone else. Now, this is in the negative sense. Obviously, in order to serve God, we must serve one another, and that's positive. But this is serving others in a negative way, against your will, in a way that is not a blessing to you. This is not a positive quality. And so ultimately, the shakers and movers are going to be those who have chosen wisdom. And fools will never reach that vantage point. Now, I have watched fools come to that point and then quickly fall. Haven't you? Some of you have been in business have watched that. You've watched fools rise with their foolish means and so on to positions of headship, and then they quickly fall. The wise, however, will rise to that position, and he will have authority over the fool.
Jerry. Think about politics when you say that. The fool will get up there and hurt him. He'll be gone.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Politics is a good example of that. That's right. Okay. Any other thoughts there? All right, let's go to the next one. This one is very dear to me because I have observed this and I understand it so clearly. It's Proverbs 14 and verse 35. I did not understand some of the things that were happening to me as a pastor especially. I understood them better as an employer, as a father, but I didn't understand them as a pastor until I saw this verse in the scripture. Proverbs 14 and verse 35. Watch this now. We're looking at the benefits of being wise and the rewards to the wise person. What's his inheritance? The king's favor is toward a wise servant. Do you understand what that means?
Amen.
Someone explain that to me or to the rest of us. Someone put that in your own words, Chris.
So almost like a father-son relationship. In other words, If the servant's wise, the king's going to do more things that would benefit the wise servant.
Okay, all right.
And promote him.
All right, Mary?
This thing of you is talking about a servant, and I see it as like you were talking about business, someone over you. If you do your job, no matter, you know, without grumbling, no matter what they tell you to do, you know, you may have a better idea that they will have done such and such a way. They're going to see that, and you'll find favor. They're going to recognize. After a while, it may take a while, but after a while, they will recognize that you have, you know, what you are doing and who you are.
Okay. And how would that favor be expressed, perhaps? Could be expressed in continued employment. Could be manifested with in monetary means, raises, promotion, additional responsibility. Longevity, favors, if you need a little time off for some special reason, adjustment to the schedule, vacation according to your time schedule and not someone else's preference on the vacation schedule. Lots of different things that you can find in the areas of employment.
Also, in the situation I was in, the boss would come to me and ask, not advice, but we would talk over things and settle on.
In other words, your opinion being considered.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Vera?
I think Joseph is a good example.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Yes.
He was in the beginning, considered very low, but his wisdom, the king recognized it and brought him to a position
yes.
of glory, and he stayed there.
Yes, in every area. First it was Potiphar showed him favor. Then it was the jailer, and then it was Pharaoh. Yeah. In every situation, wasn't it, right?
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, in my field of work, that when you continually make your boss look good, we have a thing that's called, you have job insurance. And it's important. I think the biggest thing I think men have to be aware of is that if you put yourself second and you always are considering the benefit of your employer, that you will have faith.
Always. Always. It will come. As Mary said, it might not come immediately. And it may seem like the method you've chosen is not the best because the guy next to you may be the one who seems to be, with his conniving and scheming and clawing, may seem to be gaining a superior advantage. But the fool will rise quickly and he'll fall quickly. The wise will generally rise not nearly so quickly, but his rise is continual and persistent. And when he gets there, he'll remain. We see the example of Joseph in the area of an employer kind of situation. We see the example, don't we, of Joseph also as a son. You remember, Jacob had 12 sons at the time. Well, he had 11 at the time Joseph was. But why was Joseph his favorite son? Because Joseph was faithful and trustworthy and walked in wisdom. And when Joseph went out to take care of his father's affairs, he came back and gave him an accurate report. And what were the brothers doing? The brothers were trying to hide their with deception. They were trying to hide their poor stewardship from their dad. They didn't want their dad to know. And this is why Joseph was so hated. And this is why they threw him down the well. And this is why they plotted to kill him. Because he was wise in his father's sight, and here were the fools coming to attack him. And so you see, the king here, I think oftentimes we read this, and we don't understand what a king is. We're not familiar with a king. When we see the word king, we ought to substitute the word authority. That whether it be your employer, or whether it be the head of your family, or the head of your life there, whether it be the political head, whether it be the ecclesiastical head, whatever it is, the authority, whatever that authority figure is in that area of your life, his or her favor is entreated through your wisdom, not through conniving and scheming and that sort of thing. I used to wonder as a pastor, why was it that I had especially strong feelings towards certain people? It used to bother me. Because I saw, well, God's no respecter of persons, why should I be? And why is it that I have favor towards this person, but this person, you know what I mean? You just don't feel right. And it bothered me. I thought there's something wrong with me, and I thought it's my flesh getting in there. But no, it isn't. The king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him that causeth shame. Now, according to the verse we saw, Proverbs 3:35, let's go back to Proverbs 3:35 just a moment and find out who causes shame. Who causes shame? Fools cause shame. The king's wrath is towards whom? Fools. The king's wrath is toward the wise. And his favor is toward the wise, and his wrath is toward the fool. Some of you grew up in homes where you said, it didn't matter what went on in the home, I always got the brunt of it. It seemed my brother, nothing, they hardly ever spanked him, but as every 2 days they were laying it on me. I'd be careful about admitting that if I were you. When you understand the word of God, you are really exposing yourself, you see. As a child. Now, isn't that true? Many of you have observed that in the family. And you think, well, because I was the oldest, and I took the brunt of it. Mm-mm. Don't you see it in your own family? Your one child may operate in very much wisdom, and you have favor towards that child. And you wonder, you may even wonder, well, you know, it's been 6 months since I put the wood on that child. What's something not right here? I need to... Just on general principles, I probably need it. You know, I'll give them a rod. No. Your favor is towards that child. Your favor is towards that child. And it indicates that there's wisdom there, where your wrath is continually towards that one that is bringing what? Shame. The one that causes shame. You take your two children into Kroger's or wherever you do your shopping, Winn-Dixie, wherever. You take your two children in the store. One of them grabs a jar of raspberry preserves and rolls it down the aisle. Now, is that child bringing what upon you? Shame. And what are you going to bring upon him? Wrath. Is that right?
Amen.
See?
Yeah.
Now you got another child with you. You take two children into the store. One is throwing the raspberry preserves, and the other child is saying to you, Mother, you know, we haven't had any raspberry preserves in a long time. Would it be all right if we had some of those? Why, certainly, darling. So the one you chase down the aisle with a rod, and the other one you buy anything that she wants. Why do we react that way? I mean, that's the way God made us. He made us to be that way. Why would any pastor appoint an elder who was a fool and brought shame upon him or the church? Now, a pastor would be a real jerk to do that, wouldn't he? Why would an employer appoint to a managerial position a person who brought shame upon the business? Why would a man promote somebody in his business who didn't believe in the business, who was constantly bad-mouthing the business, who always said, we don't do this right and they don't do that right and this is so and so and so? He's bringing shame upon the business. He's bringing shame upon the management, shame upon the ownership. And that kind of a man is not going to find the favor of his employer. But one who is wise, who is looking for his best interest and so on, is going to find the favor of his employer. You know, wives, you can really walk in this too. You can walk in either side of it. And you can walk in the favor of your husband, or you can walk in the wrath of your husband. That doesn't mean he doesn't love you because he's angry at you, but it's very difficult for a husband to have favor towards his wife when she's undercutting him all the time. And when she's ripping at him all the time, when she's nagging at him. The proverb says that a nagging woman's like a continual dropping. And your wife is just not going to find the favor of her husband if she's walking in foolishness, if she brings shame upon her home. But if she's walking wisely, then she's going to find the favor of her husband. She's going to walk in the favor of her husband if she's a wise-hearted individual. Okay? Very important scripture. Very important scripture. And notice what it says now. The king's favor is toward a wise servant. Now, if you do not have the favor of the authorities in your life, if you're at odds with your pastor, if you're at odds with your husband, if you're at odds with your father, if you're at odds with your boss, then you need to go take a look in the mirror of God's word and find out whether or not you may not really be a wise servant.
Yes.
Are you listening to what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a thermometer here, if you will use it. And generally, one of the other things that you can, thermometer you can use, the fool is always jealous of the wise who is held in favor. If we've got a situation here where these two brothers, in terms of their relationship with me, if this brother is wise and he has my favor, and this brother is jealous of that situation, I know where you are. See? If you're really wise, you'd be rejoicing at the favor that this man has. And you know what would happen? It wouldn't be long before you'd have the same favor. But as long as you're jealous, and as long as you try to tear him down, and as long as you think ill of me because I show him favor, then that you're producing shame. And what you'll find is the wrath of the pastor or whoever the authority is. Now, that's so clear, isn't it? I mean, don't we see that clearly? Gosh, if we could just walk in it as clearly as we see it, it would really be a benefit to all of us, wouldn't it?
One example that is Saul. He brought wrath on himself because David honored him and he was after David.
But David behaved himself wisely, didn't he? And ultimately had honor. Okay. All right, let's go then to the next one, which is Proverbs 17:2. Proverbs 17:2. Watch this one. This one here is interesting. Larry, you have a comment you want to make here?
Yes, I was just wanting to cite Daniel That seems to be one of the most excellent.
Excellent, yes.
Examples that I can think of every time when I think how many different kings he was in high position.
Yes.
Even when the king falls, he still held up.
Yes.
Because of that wisdom. Yes. And I remember the king staying up all night trying to help Daniel out of the situation where the others had conspired against him.
Yes.
And also, there are the examples of the fool, which the wrath of the king fell upon him very heavily.
Yes. The story of Mordecai and Haman would be also Haman, who was in high position, but he was a fool, brought shame upon the king and upon the king's bride, king's wife, and he found the wrath of the king. But Mordecai, who was under attack by Haman, found the favor of the king because he was wise and walked in wisdom. The Bible is just chock full of example after example after example after example after example. Why, then, aren't more wise? Because to reap the benefits of wisdom generally takes longer than to reap you can reap benefits more immediately of the fool. But they are only for a season. It's said about Moses that Moses chose the reproach of Christ, esteemed that to be greater riches than the pleasures of sin, for a season. Say, okay? Yes, Roger?
This situation really can't be a hard, fast rule in every situation. Understand what we're saying. There are situations where people didn't have the favor of the people they were under, yet they were walking in a godly manner, just like David. You know, he never got really the favor of Saul. Saul was trying to kill him all the time, but David was walking wisely in the ways of the Lord. And the New Testament says, be faithful to your servants, to those in authority, or even those that are cruel and mean.
Yes.
Over you and all. So there are situations. It's not like every situation that you can say, well, if my boss is mad at me, then I'm wrong. Because there are situations, you know, and I understand the principle.
Yes.
Even though he may be mad at you, still be faithful.
Yes.
Still be walking.
This is true.
Still be walking wise. So to me, it's not a hard, fast rule that I can say in every situation, if he's mad, then I'm a fool.
Okay.
He didn't like me, I'm a fool.
Yeah, that's a bit too sharp. On the other hand, for a person to be continually at odds with his employer, he works for this company, he has trouble there. He works for this company, he has trouble there. He has trouble over here. He always had trouble with his dad. He's got this kind of a pattern of life. The other thing, and it's worth our introspection, I think, to examine ourselves. The other thing is this, that in all of those circumstances, the Lord has ultimate vindication. He did vindicate David, and even though Saul did not provide any favor, he made David the king.
So it gets back to what we talked about several times. It can't be an immediate situation. It's got to be a lifestyle observation.
Yes.
That's where we get in the problem with judging an immediate situation. You know, if you know this person's lifestyle, his whole manner of conversation, so to speak, then you can, it's easier to make judgment. Is he walking foolishly or wisely?
Mm-hmm.
Or just in one situation, in a given situation, you can't make that judgment.
That's true. That's true. Gerald?
I just, the way it was coming to me, that a wise man has a servant's heart, and foolish has a heart that wants to be served.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's good insight as well, Gerald. Yes. Okay, let's go then to 17 and 2. A wise servant shall have rule over a son that causeth shame, and shall have part of the inheritance among the brethren. Now, the idea here is this, that a man who is a servant may improve his position over a one who is a son if he's wise. And what Solomon is getting across here is that sons generally have the inheritance of their fathers. But sons who bring their father or who produce shame, the father will not commit the inheritance to a foolish son. He would rather commit it to a wise servant. Now, an example of that would be a situation where a man has a business and he has sons who have not grown in wisdom, and his sons would destroy the business if he gave them charge over the business. They've done nothing but produce shame. But the man has a an employee who is faithful, who's wise, who's trustworthy, who has served him better than a son. And that wise servant, well, the idea is, will eventually own the business when the sons will not have it. So even where a man does not have an inheritance due him from his father, if he's a wise servant, the scripture says that that wisdom will be rewarded where the sons would normally get that inheritance have brought shame. Right?
Yeah, I praise the Lord I get examples from the Word. One example the Lord showed me is Samuel. How, what was the high priest, his son?
Yeah. Eli. We're going to be talking about him this morning.
And how Samuel, in essence, got what those sons should
That's
have.
Right.
And then, you know, you wonder about the Pharaoh with Joseph. He was second to none. Mm-hmm. What about the Pharaoh's son?
Where are his boys? That's right. Many examples in the scripture like that, yes. And many examples in natural life today, you know, in business kinds of situations, that's very common. No man is going to give a foolish son the business that he's worked his entire life to build. And a man who has worked with him all during that time is obviously the one who is due to inherit. And usually what occurs is after the man dies and they open the will and start reading the will and you get this weeping and gnashing of teeth and, well, how could he do that to us, you know? All they want is the money. They don't care about the business at all. But there was an employee who was with him all that time, you see. Someone else had their hand up and I missed it. Larry, wasn't your hand. I saw another hand. Did you have an observation you wanted to make?
Well, I was wanting to make one a moment ago. The reason that some people don't keep wisdom is because there's so much work involved in it.
And waiting.
Right. And you yes. have to be very yes. industrious. You have to not be a slothful nature. And then you come to those positions.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay. All right, let's go to the, let's notice there. Now, a wise son shall have rule, a wise servant shall have rule over a son that causes shame. What kind of people cause shame? Fools cause shame. All right. Let's go to Proverbs 3:13. The next few we'll take here somewhat more quickly. Proverbs 3:13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. What is one of the rewards of wisdom? Happiness. Happiness. All right. Proverbs 24:5. I like this one. A wise man is strong. Yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. So as our wisdom increases, so does our strength. Not talking here about physical strength necessarily, but internal strength, the kind of strength that lasts. A wise man is strong. And then Proverbs 21:22 amplifies that, where it says, a wise man scaleth the city of the mighty, and casteth down the strength of the confidence thereof. In other words, a wise man who is increasing in strength has the kind of strength that allows him to scale the wall of the mighty fool and to cast down the strength of his confidence. In other words, the idea there is, what I see is 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes me to triumph in Christ Jesus. Wisdom produces strength, and that strength ensures victory no matter how great the obstacles, scaling the city of the mighty and casting down the strength of his confidence. A good example from the scripture would be, this is a natural example, but would be Joshua Jericho. Now, here's a wise man. He served Joshua 40 years, didn't he? Increasing in wisdom all that time, and Moses had sons. How many of you know that Moses had sons? But the anointing was not given to the sons. The inheritance wasn't given to the sons. It was given to the wise servant. It was Joshua. And Joshua went into the land, and the wise being strong, he scaled the city of the mighty, Jericho, and cast down the strength of the confidence therein, took that city. Doris?
I have an uncle that had an experience like that. He was a stable boy. He looked after the wealthy man's horses and took care of the barn and kept that part. And he was then promoted to sort of general overseer. And when the man died, he did not leave his property to his sons. He willed the home and the whole farm and all of it to my uncle. And he was completely just flabbergasted. He had no idea this man held him in that kind of esteem.
Mm-hmm.
But because they had no children, when my uncle and his wife died, it reverted back to the family. He had it set up that way. But I imagine if he'd had children, he'd have
stayed in the family, and he'd have had an inheritance there. Yeah. It used to be that Hollywood made movies just like this. Used to be you could go to the movie theater and you could walk out feeling really good about, you know, and you could take your children to a movie and they'd see something like that that would really strengthen character. It used to be that the stories that the children read in school as they were reading literature and as they were learning reading were stories just like this. And it instilled these kinds of principles in our children. Now that's rare. Now that's rare. And now we read in the school books about wizards and magicians and occult heroes and that sort of thing. And we go to the movies and see everybody in strange beds and, you know, that sort of stuff, you know. But you very seldom see anything that comes out of the entertainment world or out of the educational world that is truly character building or instructional in this area. But as you were describing this, it sounds just like a movie, doesn't it? It's a shame. Now, since those influencers are not available from our culture anymore, then what does that say about us as parents with regard to our children? We're going to have to see that they get it. They're not going to get it elsewhere. Right. Jerry?
That goes to show you that wise men still seek him.
Mm-hmm.
Seeking him.
For sure.
That's the beginning
of that. That's right. That's right. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Okay, let's go to Proverbs 28:26. Excuse me, 28:26. I like this one too. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Well, I like the idea that if I ever find myself in a situation, I'm going to be delivered. That's a good inheritance to have, deliverance. No matter, because, you know, you can just be walking along and slip and fall into something that you need to be delivered from. He that walks wisely, he shall be delivered. Right?
Well, that shows the true quality of wisdom. Is it of God or is it of your own heart?
Mm-hmm.
You know, a wise man who thinks he's wise will fall.
Yes, for sure.
But, mm-hmm. You know, if you're listening to God, he will forewarn you and get you out of that situation.
That's right. That's right. Okay. The next one is Proverbs 14:8, and kind of ties in with what Ray was just saying here. Proverbs 14:8. The wisdom of the prudent or the wise is to understand his way. The wise is not just walking through a cow pasture, stepping in every pancake he sees, you know, or that was deposited there. A wise man understands his way and knows that if he doesn't watch where he puts his feet, that he's going to have some difficulty. So a wise man does not just plunge through life. A wise man sees danger ahead, avoids it, where the simple just passes on and is destroyed. Larry?
I was thinking, you know, another aspect of the deliverance that would be from demonic oppression if you were walking with.
Yes. Yes. Bad habits, bad attitudes, oppression, so-called accidents, attempts at destruction. And the two scriptures put together here, the two we've just looked at, 28:26 and 14:8, the combination of them goes something like this. A man who is wise and walks wisely will first of all avoid most dangers because he understands his way. But if he does, because of his lack of understanding in a particular area, slip and fall, or the devil gains an advantage over him because of some slick device, the Lord will see that he's delivered. And the combination of the two gives us a really fabulous promise. Proverbs 14:3. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride. I think we looked at this a couple of weeks ago. But the lips of the wise shall preserve them. The lips of the wise shall preserve them. The Bible tells us, in paraphrasing, what you say is what you get. A foolish man utters all his mind, and in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin. A wise man, however, concealeth a matter and holdeth it in until afterwards. And because of that, while the fool's mouth is continually laying traps for him, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. A fool's mouth, because it's always going, is always setting up problems for himself. However, a wise man's mouth, because it's under control, and a wise man's tongue is health, he speaks only good words, a wise man's lips will preserve him. It will protect him. The wise man is not digging up potholes out in front of him with his mouth. And because his lips are under control and his tongue is under control, he's not creating problems for himself with other people and just in the realm of circumstance. His lips will preserve him because he's careful with his mouth. He's not creating strife round about him. He's not creating enemies with his mouth and so on, as opposed to the fool. And then the last one is Proverbs 16 and 21, and has the same, ties in with what we've just shared here in the last reference. The 21st verse of Proverbs 16 says, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold? That's not the right verse. It's 16:21. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. A wise man will have a sweetness in his lips. And you may not be able to identify it, but what will happen is you'll just enjoy being around those kinds of people because there's blessing in their mouth. They encourage you. They bless you. They minister to you. Some people, when you're around them, when you leave them, you just feel pulled down. You just feel wrung out. You just feel weighted down. Okay? Any final comments now before we leave the wise? Dan?
This uncle, I take this one step further, this uncle of Darcy's, that inherited all the property. He didn't take it as his own. He still honored the man's children. He looked at them as if they were his own, and he saw that they were provided for, just like his master.
Mm-hmm. Showed he had true wisdom. Mm-hmm. Okay, Joan?
Hebrews 13:17 says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourself, for they watch for your souls, and they must give account that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. And the opposite of that would be, if they give account for your soul with joy, that it is profitable for you. That goes along with what you're saying about the wise, that when you have favor, that's what it means, that you have their blessing, and in ways that you don't even know about, and one of them may be spiritually.
Mm-hmm. That's right, with the Lord. Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Joanna?
I was thinking about the term. When somebody always says the wrong thing, you say they put their foot in their mouth. Uh-huh. But to me, I think that whatever you can get in there to get it shut up, it's wiser to put anything you can, you know, to stop yourself from saying something stupid.
Unfortunately, I hear what you're saying. Unfortunately, people who put their foot in their mouth generally have big enough mouths to put half a dozen feet in. But that is a positive approach to the problem. Let's have a concluding prayer and we'll be dismissed.